Hello, everyone. Today's passage comes from Psalm 58. Again, that is Psalm 58. Let me read that for us. Do you indeed decree what is right, you gods? Do you judge the children of man uprightly? No, in your hearts you devise wrongs. Your hands deal out violence on earth. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray from birth, speaking lies. They have venom like the venom of a serpent, like the deaf adder that stops its ear, so that it does not hear the voice of charmers or of the cunning enchanter. O God, break the teeth in their mouths. Tear out the fangs of the young lions, O Lord. Let them vanish like water that runs away. When he aims his arrows, let them be blunted. Let them be like the snail that dissolves into slime, like the stillborn child who never sees the sun. Sooner than your pots can feel the heat of thorns, whether green or ablaze, may he sweep them away. The righteous will rejoice when he sees the vengeance. He will bathe his feet in the blood of the wicked. Mankind will say, "Surely there is a reward for the righteous. Surely there is a God who judges on earth." This psalm written by David has a lot of heavy and strong language about the judgment of God on the evil of mankind. In the first two verses, David is referring to the human kings and judges who have done wrong, people who devise wrongs and are violent in nature. He asks these rhetorical questions. Do you indeed decree what is right, you gods? Do you judge the children of man uprightly? And what's interesting in this first verse is that in the footnotes, it says that the term "you gods" in the original Hebrew actually says "in silence." This is possibly referring to rulers who remained silent in the midst of the wrongs and violence that were committed. And then in verse 3, David claims that people like this are wicked from birth. It says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray from birth, speaking lies. In this passage, it seems that David is referring to the wicked rulers who live and breathe evil. But it's interesting because in a previous psalm, in Psalm 51, David actually realizes that this is actually the case for himself and the rest of mankind as well. Psalm 51, verse 5 says this, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." So he acknowledges that he himself is also born into evil. But in verses 4 to 5, we see kind of a difference between David and the people being described in this passage. We see in the life of David throughout Scripture that though he was sinful, he still listened for God's voice with intention to obey him. However, this passage describes people who are unwilling to listen. Verses 4 and 5 say, "They have venom like the venom of a serpent, like the deaf adder," which is a type of snake, "that stops its ear so that it does not hear the voice of charmers or of the cunning enchanter." Then in verses 6 through 9, we see David's contempt for this kind of wickedness, a wickedness that is violent and unwilling to listen. This hatred for sin we see in David is a reflection of God's justice and holiness. I think this passage challenges us to remember that God's justice and holiness is not only manifested in the form of warmth, but also in the intolerance of sin. There's a strong language here that describes the intolerance of sin. Phrases like, "break the teeth in their mouths, tear out the fangs of the young lions, let them vanish, let them dissolve into slime, like the stillborn child who never sees the sun." All this to portray that God will not tolerate evil. Then finally, in verse 10 and 11, David describes the satisfaction of the triumph of goodness over evil. Over the past couple of summers at Symphony, we've gone through various versions of sermon series on how God is revealed in movies. One distinct one that I remember was when we went through a series about how God is revealed in various superhero movies. And one of the sermons got to talking about why superhero movies are so popular in our world. And basically, it came down to this this universal appeal of the concept of goodness overcoming evil. This noble, good hero having a complete triumph over an opposing force of evil. It's ingrained in us to desire this. Not just a small victory, but a complete and total triumph of the good. And I think this is what David is getting at here in this passage when he says, "The righteous will rejoice when he sees the vengeance. He will bathe his feet in the blood of the wicked. Mankind will say, 'Surely there is a reward for the righteous. Surely there is a God who judges on earth.'" This triumph comes from the judgment and eradication of sin. At the time, of course, David didn't explicitly know how that would pan out. But now, in today's world, we know that this rejoicing of vengeance against the wicked, this complete victory, has been achieved through the overwhelming triumph of Christ defeating death. Through Christ, the goodness of God has the last say. A bit of a heavier passage today, but I think this is a passage that can give us great assurance and confidence because we know for certain that God is a God who will not allow evil to prevail. Evil will be thwarted away, and his judgment, his goodness, and his triumph will remain. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this passage. What a reminder that evil and wickedness are all around us, and also inside of us. Lord, forgive us for the ways that we might have been influenced by this wickedness. But God, we trust in your mercy. As we continue to live in the tension of already but not yet, knowing that Christ's sacrifice is done and final, but also still living in a very broken world, help us to remain faithful, to cling to the hope of the day when your goodness will manifest fully in all of the world. Lord, what a day to look forward to. Help us to trust and cling to you until that day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.